Welcome back to the Midday Show, and it is a pleasure to welcome one of my favorite filmmakers. I don't even have to pretend in this case. This is actually true. John Sayles, welcome to WKZE.
Nice to talk with you again.
Thank you. Yes, we spoke recently for a podcast I do on film, on typically on film, although we talked mostly about writing, which we'll do a little bit also. But I don't want to put you on the spot, but I understand you and Maggie, your partner, actually are familiar with our radio station. We were in.
Yeah, we lived in Clinton Corners, New York for many years, and we've listened to that, and both the music and some of the talk shows.
Sure. Well, I appreciate it very much. All right, let me set the stage here first of all, because I'm famous for burying the lead often. So I'm just going to say you recently published a new novel called Crucible, and you're on a book tour as we speak, and you're going to be at Oblong Books. Well, let me back up a second. You're going to actually be at the Morton Memorial Library in Rhinecliff on Thursday, February 19th at 6:30. This is an event which is being presented in partnership with the Morton Memorial Library and Oblong Books.
Which is
So,
a great bookstore. That when we lived in Clinton Corners, that was our bookstore.
well, there's two. So I wondered if you were in
In
Miller.
the Rhinebeck one, we
Oh, Rhinebeck,
mostly
very
went
good.
to. Yeah,
Yeah.
they didn't own the Millerton one before.
The owner, well, historical owner, the founder of Oblong Books, Dick Hermans, has a show to this day on a radio station on Saturday
Oh,
mornings.
great.
All right. Well, a lot of people know you from a number of your films. You've, I think, directed about 18 features, possibly, including, of course, the Return of Caucus Seven, 8 Men Out, of course, Mate One, Lone Star, Too Many Dimension. Maybe I should. I don't know. We could probably riff into all of them, but I think a lot of people don't know you're also a novelist. Crucible is your eighth novel, over a span of many years, but it's your eighth novel.
Yeah, I was lucky. I got a novel published when I was 25 years old, called Pride of the Bimbos. And what's kind of happened in the interim is whenever I don't have a movie happening, and that's often because they fall apart at the last minute, I usually have a project, sometimes even a screenplay I never got to make that I make into a novel. I'm able
So,
to, keep busy writing in that way.
was Crucible the new novel about, in a nutshell, Henry Ford, but it was this intended as a novel, or is this one of your other cases?
This was intended as a novel. This is something that's been cooking for a long time. I got interested in the idea of Detroit as being this kind of crucible of American forces that came together. It's right on the border with Canada, so during Prohibition, that's where all the good liquor came down and went on to Chicago and other places from there. Because Henry Ford, famously in his days as America's favorite tycoon, was paying twice what anybody else was paying for the same kind of manufacturing work, and famously hired black people to do non-janitor jobs at the same pay as white people. It was a magnet for people coming up from the South, both black and white. So it became kind of a crucible for race relations. And then, of course, it was a wholly owned by him and his son, a massive industrial giant up until the early 40s. Not a corporation, but
Right,
this
so
man
family
and his
owned.
son owned all the stock.
Right.
And
So
so it was a
if a
target
union,
for labor organizing.
right. Which is a big part of the novel as well. It's broken. I could see this, of course, and we discussed this a couple of weeks ago. I could definitely see this as, it's so visual, as most novels, I guess, are. But I mean, it lends itself to this idea that it could have been a series or something, because there's a number of subplots, a number of characters, a number of stories that are on their own quite interesting.
I did pitch a mini series. Some people came to me who had bought the rights to Gary Grandin's book Fordlandia,
Right.
which when I read it, I said, "Well, This is right up my alley, and this is the imperialist part of this kind of 15-year saga I'm telling. And nobody bit. It's expensive to do things about the oil industry, let's just say, or the automobile industry. But it's a great story. Henry Ford decided in 1927, when my book starts, to buy a section of the Amazon the size of the state of Connecticut and grow his own rubber. And that kind of became his Vietnam.
Amazing. I want to lead people to my podcast. I'm not just trying to promote my podcast. Actually, we just have a much more nuanced, elaborate conversation about the book there. And I'll make that known how people can listen to our longer conversation. But you're again going to be at Oblong Books on February 19th. Do you have a sense of what people can expect at the event? I assume you'll be doing a reading and
Yeah, I usually have about 20 sections of the book that I think are good reading sections. I edit them a little bit to make them even better for reading. I print them out in large type so I don't have to wear my glasses. And so usually I read for about 20 minutes. It might be one or two sections from the book, and then take questions. This opens up a lot of areas. So usually there are a lot of questions.
And then, of course, you'll be signing books, I assume, as well. I mean, that's kind of the way these things work, I suppose.
Which is when you're happy your name is short and not something like Schickel Gruber or Schwarzenegger.
Exactly. One thing I can't stand, though, is the pre-autograph book. I don't see any point in it. When
You
I mean,
know, uh,
you're going to probably be asked to
bookstores,
do that.
yeah, bookstores. I just did some for a bookstore in Arizona. Bookstores say they sell better.
Yeah,
And so if you
it makes
can't go
sense.
to the place,
Yeah.
you do that.
Right. And we're all for bookstores. And fortunately, there seem to be quite a bunch up here. So that's really nice. I'm sure there's only a fraction of what once existed, but.
The good bookstores become kind of a center of activity for the community, and they don't just sell books. And so that's one of the reasons I think they survive is people prefer to go there and browse rather than do it on their computer.
So I would be remiss if I didn't ask you, is there any movie in the works?
We were trying to make a Western for several years now, and it's fallen apart economically twice. So that's kind of on hold. There's a nice novella called Paso por Aquí, written in 1927 by a cowboy writer, and would make a great movie, but we haven't been able to get it off the ground. So really, I'm just kind of looking at an industry where a standalone feature has become the hardest thing to get made. No matter what the budget, no matter what actors you have, it's just hard to get people into movie theaters these days. And that's basically the lead of getting any money back for a movie.
I know it breaks my heart.
Yeah,
Breaks my
it's I'm not the only one
No, I know
who's
that,
having
right.
a hard time making a
Yeah.
movie.
Sadly, you have a lot of compatriots that can empathize with the challenges. But thank you so much. We look forward to seeing you in Rhinecliff at the Morton Memorial Library. I want to encourage everybody to go out and also to pick up a copy of the book. I read it myself, and it is a thoroughly enjoyable book that you'll enjoy on an aim and for its entertainment value, but also learn a tremendous amount about this period of history in this country, which resonates very, very much right now. But I'll leave it for potential readers to figure out why. But thanks so much, and I'll see you in Rhinecliff.
I'll see you there. Thank you.
All right, John. Oh, wait, one second though. So I'm putting you on the spot, but you have a few moments to figure out if you want to choose. It doesn't have to be a particular song, it could be an artist. And I will play it after we finish here.
One of the songs that is in the book is one of the characters has always had a great voice but is shy about using it, and she sings Judy Garland's version of "You Made Me Love You."
There it is. John Sayles, the name of the novel is Crucible. Thanks for coming on WKZE. This is Judy Garland. You Made Me Love You, 98.1 KZE.